Now, if you want to know about church, you can take a class at the seminary called Ecclesiology. Big name, isn't it? Tells you about the history, the theology, the mission of the church. And the Seventh-day Adventist church being such a young church, we tend to focus mostly toward the future. We have a mission. We want to share the good news of Jesus with everybody. And we've grown. We've grown to over 16 million members around the world. Amen? Now, when we look back, we know it wasn't easy getting to this number. It hasn't been an easy road. Just this week, how many of you remembered what happened on the 22nd of October? But this time it was 1844. Great disappointment. And some of us remembered, wow, it was a day like today when people were expecting Jesus to come back. But we learned. And we've moved on. And thinking about history a little bit, I also remembered this week that about this time, just a year ago, Carolina and I came to this church. And we've been very blessed, very happy to be here and share with you this time together. There's another way about how we can know about churches. And some of us have done this. We've traveled. Get in a car, you go to a city, you'll find a church. You take a plane, go around the world, and most likely you'll find a place that has been designated as special, sacred. Sometimes it's just natural scenery. Sometimes it's a temple, a cathedral, a synagogue, a mosque. But what's so special about all these buildings? I took the time and, while I was a student, I had more time. I went and visited St. Peter's Cathedral. Anybody been there? A huge, beautiful, massive building with so many paintings, sculptures. And what really caught my attention was that the person at the door told me that 30,000 people visit that place a day. 30,000 people. Wow! I was also surprised to see some men in suit making sure we had the proper attire to go inside. We couldn't wear our shorts or our baseball caps. They were saying, please take that off. I also had the opportunity of visiting the Blue Mosque. Incredible architecture in the city of Istanbul, Turkey. Now there, I had to take off my shoes to go inside. And they had a beautiful rug, and we had to sit on the floor if we had to sit. I also visited a synagogue. In fact, I've visited several synagogues. And there they always make men wear a kippah or yarmulke. You have to wear it when you go inside. It's respectful. It's a sign of reverence. In fact, one time I even had to show my passport to go inside the synagogue for security reasons, of course. They saw me, can I see your passport? Yes, this was in Europe, so. Churches, are they just about a building, four walls, special location? Or is it more about people? People that come together. People that know they have to come together to know about God, to worship this being who created them, to give acknowledgement of what he has done, to share this special time together. together. I've had people ask me this question. Why go to church? Has anybody asked you that question? Why do you go to church? What's so important about coming together to worship God? And I believe Pastor Jones last week gave an excellent sermon about worship, coming together to worship our Creator, acknowledging all that He has done for each one of us. But today I want to study other aspects of church and what we need to know when we come together, when we come to this place. And I would like to invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew. This is scripture reading. Chapter 22, verse 34. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. And before we read this scripture reading, it was a weekday. I came to the Fallbrook Church, and I met with a member here. He was doing something here at the church during the week. We sat down to eat together. And I explained to him, saying, you know, church is 50% teaching, 50% relationships. And he said, no, Pastor Sam, church is 100% relationship. And that stuck to me. I said, you know, you're right. It's 100% relationship. And this text says exactly that. Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 and on. But when the Pharisees heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they gathered themselves together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law? What is it that God requires of us? What is the one thing we all need to do?" And he said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets." Love God, love others as you love yourself. Why is love important? It's at the basis of all meaningful relationships. Amen? It's what brings and keeps people together. It's what helps me relate with somebody I might have just met today. Relationships. Are they easy? They're not easy. In fact, last week, I was at a retreat, a young adult retreat, up at Pine Springs Ranch. Beautiful place. Young adults, young professionals, 125 of them, 148 of them were there. And the topic was one. That was the theme, one. Coming together as one. And the topic that was given me was how to deal with difficult people. That was a hard topic, Eric. And Eric was there. He was supporting. He was like, oh, come on, you could do it. And Carolina was there too. She helped me a lot. How to deal with people like Eeyore. Always sad. Nothing goes well. Negative, negative, wherever you go. And the text that I used is also found in the Gospel of Matthew, this time chapter 5. And I would like you to open it there. Verse 43. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate who? Have you heard that? I just heard it this week. CNN, a report. The 6 people you should not befriend. Oh, yeah. And it's people I know, too. But that's the world. They can label you really quickly and say, persona non grata. Yes, do not get close. But this is what Jesus said, verse 44. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, in order that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax gatherers do the same? And if you greet your brother only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Does God want to perfect his character in our lives, brothers and sisters? He does. And for him to be able to do this, he calls us to love one another, to love others. Easy? Not easy. But this was God's plan from the beginning with his people. This was his goal, to have a nation that could proclaim the love of God in such a way that everyone would be attracted to being where God's people were. Amen? Everybody would want to be a friend who was a friend of God. But what was happening when Jesus was saying these words? I would like you to go with me to Matthew now, chapter 23, verse 37, 38, and 39. These are some words that share sorrow, pain, frustration in some ways. Words that Jesus, I'm sure, did not want to pronounce, but that he did to his people. Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, the way a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, and you were unwilling. You were what? Unwilling. What was it that he was asking? How often I wanted to gather your children together. Now, this might not shock you too much, but the Greek word for gathering together is the word synagoge. What word is it? Synagogue. And in English, what word do we have that sounds like that? Synagogue. Church. Jesus was telling his people, how many times did I try to what? Bring you together. I was in the seminary, rooming with a non-Adventist. And I had dressed up, ready to go to church on a Sabbath morning. I was ready to go. But something unexpected happened that morning. When I was walking out the door, my roommate said, "Samuel, where are you going?" He says, "I'm going to church. I have a question for you." "What's your question?" "Isn't God everywhere?" "Yes, I believe he's everywhere." "Then why can't you just worship him here at home? Why do you have to go to church?" That question caught me off guard. I was ready to go, and nobody had ever asked me why I went to church. The response I was able to give him was, "I go to church to worship God and to be with other believers. I go to church to be able to relate to other people. I go to church because there is strength when we come together." Amen? When God's people come together, there is strength. But church has something else that makes it unique. It's a place where I can also know about myself. I hope I can come to church and people can come to me and be open and honest with me. Amen? Tell me when I'm doing things right, and also tell me when I'm not doing things quite right. Amen? A place where I can grow, where I can share what I know about God, and where they will be able also to share with me what they know about God. And together we can grow. In Jesus' time, this was not such an easy task. We read the Gospels and it gives us glimpses only of what was going on at church in Jesus' time. It talks about the Pharisees. It talks about the Sadducees. It doesn't talk much about the Essenes or the Zealots, but they were also part of the church in God's time. In fact, the literature before 70 AD, Second Temple history, tells us that there was great division in God's church when Jesus came. They were fighting each other. In fact, the Romans had surrounded the city of Jerusalem, and the Zealots were stealing, robbing, they were hurting, killing each other. They didn't need the Romans to come and destroy them. They were already destroying themselves. But church is a place where we should what? Come together. United in the faith that Jesus is coming soon. I was traveling from the border of Italy back to Fribourg, Switzerland. And I was kind of sad because I had traveled to the border of Italy because I wanted to go visit Rome. I had never been there. It was my first time. And my parents, for the first time, had come over to Europe to visit. It was my graduation day. It was happiness. And we were going to go travel together for a couple of days, 3-4 days only. We're going to go to the southern part of Italy. But a cousin that was coming along, she had a Cuban passport. And she was not able to cross that border that day. So I had to go back to Fribourg, and my parents with some other friends, they continued their journey to the city of Rome. I had to get in a train this time. We were driving, and I was traveling on train with my cousin. And there was a Jew, an Orthodox Jew, sitting in that same wagon. And he was reading his Bible, so I took my Bible out too. I'm going to read. And started looking, and I fell on the last book of the Old Testament. Anybody know? Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. Malachi chapter 4, verse 4. And it reads like this. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel. Behold, I am going to send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. So I looked to him and I said, what do you think about this prophecy here in the book of Malachi chapter 4 verses 4 through 6? He looked at me and he said, when this happens, when the hearts of the father to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers are restored, when they come together, the Messiah will come. And I said, amen. I believe that. Jesus will come for a united people. Jesus will come when we, adults, young people, children, when we come together and we can love each other and we can work together like I've seen many here at the Fallbrook Church do. Jesus is coming again. Amen? Is this easy to love others as we do ourselves? It's not. Have you been burnt in a relationship? I have. Have you been hurt? I have. Do you know people who were not taught to love? I've known people like that. So how is it that we put this into practice? How is it that we know God, that we know others, that we know ourselves when we come to church? John said it in a very simple way. We love because God first loved us. Did he love us because he knew us? No, indeed, because we knew him the other way around. Yes, he loved us even before we knew him. Does he love us despite of the times we push his buttons? Yes, he loves us. And God is inviting us to know, to experience, to love like he loved us. The church, a place where we can know God, a place where we can get to know each other, a place where we can get to know ourselves and grow in God's love, a place, a people that God is coming to take home. Amen. I would like to invite you to open up your hymns to hymn